Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome in, everybody. It is Thursday, October 29, 2020. And as you can see on the screen, those on Facebook Live and Blog Radio. But we're missing our little friend, our loved one, our blanca.
Our little compadre.
Our comadre. She's out with doing some resting and relaxation.
We're bilingual.
Yes, coming back next. Hopefully, may the Lord say the same next
Thursday.
She'll join us. She's with her love of her life, so she's having a great time, I'm sure.
Her husband.
Yes, her husband. And not,
I'm going to clarify.
So anyway, today's wellness show is kind of,
I think it's kind of different.
And it's kind of like we started it last week a little bit with the personality. And so now we're going to kind of bring it down to more, what'd you say, like
a little more relatable.
Yeah.
Because we got a little bit of feedback that not a lot of people have dealt with personality in the sense of introvert, extrovert, and ambivert. They've dealt with it from what we're going to talk about today. And it'll be a little easier because we can go through the different types. And I'm telling you, this stuff helps you with your day-to-day. It'll help you with your intimate relationships with your husband, with your spouse, you know, with your children,
fiance. Anyway, it's going to be personality and the friend factor. And Leah has the book there.
The friend factor.
It's a quick read, guys.
112 pages. You can eat that up in a day.
Yeah, it's really good. And so we're going to start off with Proverbs 27:19.
Yeah.
It says, as in water, space reflects space, so the heart of the man reflects the man.
Correct. You know, your heart and then your mouth. And it all goes together. We're having a lot of teaching on Tuesday about our tongues and how it is this really small piece of you, but it can do so much damage. And so we're talking about
it. It could do good too.
Yes.
So that's the whole teaching is that, you know, being able to control that which is not encouraging. And, you know, so anyway, you wanted to start with what you have there with the
Sure. My mom has been somebody that for the longest time, let's talk about why she's not here. For the longest time that she's preached the personalities. You know, she's had the personality tree. That book is so old and so raggard, bless you, that she's ready for a new one, but she's gonna hold on to that one. And we've done Personality Plus, and we've taken, you know, the little tests that go around, which you should take every 6 months, because you visit, you visit all four of them, the personalities, depending on what's going on in your life. And so, that's something that I've gotten since I was a teenager. I don't think that a lot of people had the benefit of that, but, you know, mom has always been a reader, and dad is definitely an academic. And so that kind of translated to our household. Now, if it helps us relate to each other better, I don't know.
Well,
I hope that it would have. But yes, it's something that still in the back of my mind when I deal with people. And we're still going through the What Women Want series, just to clarify. It's important that as women, we know our personality. We are the ones that society says are more emotional, that we are the cause of a lot of relationship problems because we want more out of people than they're willing to give sometimes.
Yeah.
And this helps you to look inside yourself. I mean, we always like to look at ourselves, so this should be easy for you. Look inside of yourself and figure out where your mind is so that you can really ask yourself, am I really asking too much of the people in my life? Or am I asking the right amount of things but in the wrong way to relate to their personality type? And what do I need to do to get what I want out of life and from the relationships that I have? So we're still in the What Women Want series. I'm going to let you talk about the personality tree, and I'm going to do more talking about the Fred factor, which my mentor, Joni, recommended. That I get, and it's been a really good read. It was a $4.13 book on Amazon, and so
and it was worth it, right?
Every penny.
Every penny.
Everything.
Well, you know, we're going to talk first about the powerful caloric. That's one of those personalities. And as you know, the powerful caloric, by the way she walks into a room and takes charge of everything.
Mm-hmm.
She's what Leah talked about last week, an extrovert.
Yep.
Who can intuitively size up a situation and delegate the task to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You won't catch her deliberating too much over details. She's a no-nonsense kind of person. She sets goals and believes in fairness. The caloric is practical, hardworking, self-sufficient, multitasker. I think in that sense, a lot of us women are.
That's a lot of females right there.
Part of the trait of, you know.
I was just thinking, Missy, you're watching. That's you. Yeah. Of course.
She's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This born dogmatic leader. Person is born leader, very keen, capable of responsibility. She takes a stand and sticks to it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
She will not be influenced by what others think, but is also the least sensitive or sympathizing with others
of the four temperaments.
Yeah.
She's going to be the one that's going to be like, look, this is really what we need to get done. And I mean, like, I understand that you have this issue, but I need you to work that out before you come here to do this. And that's the way. It doesn't mean that she's not a sensitive or a man,
right.
That they're not a sensitive person. It just means that they logically process things and they kind of expect you to do.
And in that sense, that's a person that has really knows who they are,
mm-hmm.
in the situation. And because it can have a downside of being that kind of personality.
Yeah, and this is a downside here where they talk about it. They liken the caloric to a lion that can be irritable and quick-tempered, but very driven in their personality, and it makes them purposeful and productive. So when you visit some of those times when you're irritable and quick-tempered, there are certain oils that go along with that. And those oils, the downside of being a caloric is anger, irritability. You're trying to find balance because, again, you got to deal with other people and you're okay and they may not be. And so that kind of easily puts you off kilter. And then you have some anxiety issues. So we've got the blend. Peace, balance is another blend. Mm-hmm. Forgive is another really good blend. And they're making like a forgive perfume kind of a roller that they have too. Wild orange, narrowly, which is a rollerball that's called a And ginger and cedarwood.
And these are all doTERRA oils.
Yes. Yes.
And on that.
And again, you know, we're not doctors, obviously. I mean, I'm not wearing my stethoscope, so there you go. No doctors here, no nurses, not in the medical field, but we're just sharing our experiences and hoping that it will help you.
Yeah. And bring, I mean, you know, if you have a doctor that you're working with, be in that
room.
Yeah. Talk to them about the things that you're thinking about, and most of them are pretty open to it if you present it in a way that shows that you're not trying to overdo them.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, as long as you don't challenge their understanding, they're good.
It doesn't work.
This was, I think I made a double copy. Yeah, I did.
Of the sanguine.
So next, let's go into the sanguine.
Yes. Well, I am and I'm not. I kind of got a mixture of both of them.
Yeah. You can always have a mix, yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to spot a popular sanguine. She makes grand entrances and is the life of every party. She's an extrovert who loves to tell funny stories and be the center of attention. She's warm and loving. She enjoys everything about life. It's easy for something to warm her heart and cause an outburst of response. She is so cheerful, bubbly, and that may appear to be phony or come on too strong, but she may still
shake.
But she's is very sincere and loving. I have a typical sanguine in my life, and she's been my buddy for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Susan Clarendon, if you're listening,
she's
100%. But she is, and she's not phony. Like, she really, I've been around her to know that her heart is really genuine when she wants to hug on you and pray for you. Now, does she say things sometimes that people go, oh, no, she didn't. But I think I'm guilty of that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, she's always bubbly, excited to be there, even if she's got something else going on in her life, or she might have some you wouldn't pain know issues.
Yeah.
She wouldn't, you wouldn't know it unless you were close enough for her to say, well, you know, this is how I'm feeling or whatever. Most of the time she's more concerned about you. And that's the typical sanguine. They describe the sanguine as the otter. The sanguine lives for the moment and goes with the flow. In her energy and enthusiasm, she's also quickly distracted. She can tend to be selfish and irresponsible, but she's so lovable that her friends can easily ignore her weaker tendencies. And again, when they say selfish and irresponsible, what they're talking about is because she gets so quickly distracted, it can be seen as
right
that way.
Right, like she'll go from one, you know, the person will go
but
from
the
one
intentions
thing,
are pure.
And then go back and go into something else, and they kind of forget, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to do
this. This is one of the quotes from Florence
Littner.
I always say her name wrong. The author of the book, okay? And this is her quote. While the sanguines want to have fun in life and appear to have no serious requirements for happiness, underneath, they have a craving for approval and will wilt into uselessness under negative comments. Given praise and encouragement, the sanguine will go to extremes to please you, for they want to be loved. I mean, I have a bit of sanguine in me, and that really is my desire. I want to be accepted. And I want to be loved, and I don't do well with negative comments, and I do wilt under that pressure pretty easily if somebody is that way with me. So I visit that as well. And I think sometimes people, they go and they'll look at you, especially other females who are really good at judging one another, which is not the best quality, and we'll look and say, well, there's a very petite, blonde, beautiful, whatever, over there, and oh, she's got to be just fine. Everything's wonderful with her, and then and she must be the sanguine, you know, because look at how pretty she is. And then you'll look at somebody that's more like I am, a little on the heavier side, darker hair, darker eyes. Oh, well, she couldn't be sanguine. Oh, no. She, you know, we prejudge people, and that's just by what we see. And you know how they say, you know, a book can discover and does apply. So as women, that's something that we definitely should be careful of. Now, the oils that go with the sanguine, there are some issues with the sanguine. And they are?
Issues with pleasing, irresponsibility, focus, fatigue, and concentration. The oil that doTERRA recommends and we recommend is In Tune, Adaptive, which, oh my gosh, it's the best. And Vetiver, Forgive, and Frankincense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as we all know, Frankincense is the king of all.
And again, that list will be online. Next, we go to the Peaceful Phlegmatic.
And I'm married to one of those.
I am so phlegmatic.
He keeps me grounded. Phlegmatic is a peaceful person, easygoing, happy-go-lucky. The phlegmatic wants to stay out of trouble and get along with everybody. She or he is enjoyable to be around, but laid back and doesn't get too excited about much. They're an extrovert who loves peace.
They're an introvert.
Introvert, yeah. And they love peace and quiet. Why don't you pick them from here?
Oh, sure. You won't often find them in trouble with authorities, because they'll do anything to avoid fights and arguments. They have a naturally dry sense of humor. And I lost my place in my notes. There we go. And their wittiness keeps their companions laughing constantly. They don't get ruffled about much. And they're pretty consistent, caring person each time you see them. You know what you're going to get with them. And they tend not to get too involved in things. They'd rather sit back and watch the action. But when aroused, they're competent and they're efficient workers.
Yeah. And you know, I can say that for being with Jack. He as long as he sees me being okay, he's okay. And so I've learned to be a little bit more phlegmatic, visit that personality a lot. Because I want to be that. I usually can easily be a caloric and just be a mess. But, you know,
but that's what we're talking about here, where you know the personality of your partner. And so you morph who you are to kind of blend with that person. Because, again, that ideally is the person that you've chosen to spend your life with.
You balance,
yeah.
Balance together.
Definitely. I mean, my husband is very much like my father, which is a blessing to me. And so he constantly keeps me laughing most of the time. He tries. He's in the audience.
Yeah, he's in the audience.
They call the phlegmatic the golden retriever. The phlegmatic is gracious and kind to all. They love everybody, and they all love them back. They liken the phlegmatic, again, to the golden retriever, sensitive and blending into any situation. There weren't a whole ton of negatives for the phlegmatic.
Mm-hmm. No, they're very...
They were interesting. They were really interesting to me because, see, the other ones that we just mentioned were things that are outward, right? Irritability, lack of concentration. The ones with the phlegmatic, get this, because they take in everything around them. They're overly sensitive. They have bowel issues. They have thyroid issues. And they have mental fatigue. Why? Because they're taking your stuff and they're internalizing it. And so, therefore, you end up being like a dump truck sometimes. That's why it's important to know the other person's personality. Again, because here you are, you could be dumping on a person like a phlegmatic. It's going to take it, and it's really going to take it to heart. And then they're going to have these issues. Lemongrass, bergamot, citrus bliss, copaiba for pain, because, you know, as we've been looking into, mental fatigue can be likened to, like, being stabbed or being cut. It's pain.
Yeah.
It registers the same. Frankincense, rosemary, myrrh, which, as of right now, interesting, myrrh is not available right now because all of this stuff going on with COVID. They haven't been able to produce a batch that doTERRA has approved. So we're still, it's not available as of right now. And that just goes to show you that doTERRA oils are rigorously tested. If they don't meet certain guidelines, they don't put them out.
Yeah, it's third-party tested. We don't just take anything.
Yeah, I mean, and this oil wholesale is $59. So, I mean, they could just say, it takes most of the stuff to pass, so we'll just let it pass. Because it's the oil that's, you know, a little more on the expensive side. But they don't do that. They'd rather take the hit.
And that's why we want to educate people. Not all oils are pure. We had a situation last week. Blanca and I did a class. And we were getting ready to do an aroma touch. And
you told me about it.
Yeah, we were getting ready to do. And so we always do the class first because we want to educate doTERRA, being certified pure therapeutic grade. Because we're about to do a technique on you where we're going to take these oils and put them in your spine, your back. So we want to educate you of these oils, what we stand for and everything. So while she's doing the class, and we explained that there's going to be the 8 oils, and one of the oils is lavender. Mm-hmm. And she went like, oh, no, no, oh, no.
Oh,
and we were like, what? And she's like, no, I, you can use maybe all the other stuff, but I cannot have lavender. I cannot have lavender. And so, of course, we respected what she said. However, being the experts in what we know to talk about and what we represent with doTERRA,
well,
we brought a sample to her right away of the lavender. We had her smell it. We had her put a drop on her. And she smelled it, and she's like, and at first she was like, well, no, because the reaction that I had was later. It wasn't like current. And we said, okay, but, you know, our stuff is pure. We finished the class. We did the aroma touch. We did use the lavender. The woman loved everything and went home, and I contacted her afterwards, and she's loving our doTERRA. But see, that's the thing. And, you know, we're telling you these things because we want to educate that not all oils are good oils. And if they have fillers, your body's going to reject it because it's stuff that's in there that's not pure, certified, therapeutic grade. And so
they're
that's
not natural.
Why.
They're not found in nature.
Yeah. And it's hard for us because it gives us, like, right away, like, no.
Yeah.
oh, I don't want, and you're like, oh man. So you know, it's like, it just, it's harder to overcome that objection sometimes. But she was very gracious and allowed us to do the aroma touch. It was incredible. She loved it. And I'm sure she's going to buy more of doTERRA. So, but I wanted to say that with the fact that, you know, we're giving you these oils. We're telling them, telling you what they are, but we're telling you really doTERRA is
the best. Yeah, I mean, like the results that we're talking to you about are with doTERRA oils. Now, if you go out to Walmart and buy a $3 bottle of lavender and it doesn't work for you, that's not on us. Like, we told you to go to doTERRA. We told you to go what we know is certified pure therapeutic grade. And so you should be choosy. I mean, you're putting it on your body, after all.
You know? Yeah.
The last three oils, digestin, peppermint, and ginger. Which I also have like cough drops or drop version of it. Again, because of those bowel issues that can happen. The author, again, out of her book, Silver Boxes, and I'll let you tell that story in a minute. Her quote for our phlegmatic, yes, our peaceful golden retriever.
Mm-hmm.
These people fit in any situation. They blend in with the wallpaper and modify their personality to get along without conflict. That's the key. Everyone loves the low-key nature of the inoffensive phlegmatic. They do appreciate being noticed once in a while, being included in conversations that they won't push into on their own, and being told that they're of value and that their opinion is respected.
Yeah.
Don't we all love that?
Yeah, and you know, the thing with a phlegmatic about the attention, they do want to be acknowledged, and
yeah.
A lot of people don't. They dismiss them, and it's almost like they know they're there because they're so calm, but they kind of mistreat them sometimes because they don't acknowledge them. And that's one of the things that, for myself, being married to one thing that I try to do is pray as much as I can and tell him I love him. And
Dad's watching and he said he's a golden retriever, but he doesn't shed.
No,
he doesn't. Yeah. He does. And, you know, just something I've been kind of seeing a lot on social media, especially because of COVID and the fact that a lot of people stayed in more. They're starting, things like depression are feeding in on them. Every 22 minutes, a veteran commits suicide.
Oh.
Every 22 minutes. That's ridiculous, y'all. And they isolate themselves. And a lot of them display these characteristics of being a phlegmatic. Guys, you kind of have to be in the military because you're supposed to go along. Everything's supposed to be uniform. And, you know, so...
Don't create waves. It's
look,
like, I had a veteran tell me, I'm somebody that does the whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Because that's the military.
That's how it is.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to do it. You tell me.
Check on your people. You know, call, text, drop by, a visit. Doesn't have to be long. Let them know that they're important, that they're wanted, that they're needed. These are important things. I know that as women, a lot of the times we can feel like we're not important. We're not valued. I have a lot of mothers, stay-at-home mothers, and they'll tell me they don't feel loved. They're surrounded by love. You know, their kids are hanging on them all the time. Mommy, mommy this, mommy that. And they really need their mothers. You know, and they're getting, hopefully they're getting love and attention from their spouse as well. But it just doesn't seem to soak into them.
Well,
you know
it's good that you mentioned that because one of the things that I heard yesterday, and it was, you know, we're now having to be inside more with our loved ones. For those of us that are believers in Christ Jesus, the solution is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to church, for those of us, I've been blessed, our church is open, we go, and you can't expect 2 hours of being in church to help you through the rest of the week. It just doesn't. So, you know, you have to be in your word. You have to be in prayer. You have to be communicating to the one that knows you better than you know yourself. So, you know, I'm a firm believer.
Stop your prayer life.
No. The victory is in prayer. When you pray to the Lord and you seek Him, you know, because He knows what you need better than you do.
That's true.
Better than you.
Sometimes you go in there not knowing what you need, and you get your answer, because God knows what you need. So, I mean, it's definitely something that you should reflect on, not to the point that you're just letting it just beat you up in your mind, but you should be aware of it. And, you know, I have found lately that women have come to me and they say, I hope I'm not complaining. And, you know, I believe that there's a difference between complaining and venting. You know, and like I told someone recently, as long as your venting doesn't cause you to sin, and by that I mean the venting doesn't cause you to get angry, curse somebody out, you know, physically harm someone, venting is good. Venting is good to help. I had this conversation the other day,
you know, with you to be able to let out, and, and you do it with trusted people. Now, I'm not saying
not just everybody.
Anybody. No, you're,
and I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
You know, you have to be able to know who you're talking to and stuff, but venting is okay and it can be helpful.
Yeah.
It can be helpful.
Very helpful.
Don't let it all stay in. It just is not good for you.
Yeah, because as a phlegmatic, you end up with bowel issues, thyroid issues, glandular issues, because your body can only take so much, you know.
And with that said, you know, to back it up with the word of God. And
here we go.
And this was my scripture. Last night, the Lord was speaking to me and gave me the scripture. And then this morning, this was my scripture of the day. And that's in Ephesians 4:29, where it says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So, again, you go back to the word, like Paul said, if it's not edifying, if it's not uplifting, and if it's not of a good report, then be quiet. Or search the scriptures so that when you do go to present whatever you're going to present, you do it in a posture of love. You do it without tearing them down. And I know it's hard. We're living in times where it's easier to go the other way.
Yeah.
But if you're a child of God, every word that you say, if you're going to give an account to the Lord. Now, again, that doesn't mean it has nothing to do with your salvation.
Right.
It has to do with your walk with God. Are you, Pastor said on Sunday, are you living the gospel? Are you living the gospel in your life?
It's just like when you have a child, and you chastise the child for something that they did that wasn't right. They're still your child. You know, through the chastisement or whatever, just like your salvation is still secure, you know, even though you're being chastised. Philippians 4:8 is what I was looking at, remembering it.
Okay.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you.
And that's Paul. He's telling people, do what I'm teaching. Do the gospel.
Yeah.
Live the gospel. You know, and if these things are not coming in out of your mouth, then don't say them, because once they're out, you cannot take it back.
Yeah, I mean, it's a temporary situation, whatever you're feeling at that moment. Dad's saying, I got to work on that. He says he doesn't want any self issues.
No, we've been through that already, so that's not something we want.
Hey, Damien, he's over there saying, yes, sir, he's agreeing. We've got our last one, the perfect melancholy Bieber.
Yes.
The Bieber.
You know, Lee, and the note on that, Lee, when I remember when
let's
you,
talk about
did,
melancholy.
Yeah, when we did this, and you were like, maybe what? I don't know. 18, 19?
Yeah, I was in my early 20s. So.
And 20. I really felt that you were melancholy. With a combination of caloric, depending on
But melancholy, I really thought that
the mom's determination.
Yeah. I thought you and your brother, as a matter of fact, but yeah. Right.
The melancholy is the perfect person who wants everything done properly and in order. They're systematic. They labor over details. Typically, they're an extreme introvert. Oh, my brother. They're reserved, and they prefer long, quiet conversations. They're constantly analyzing themselves and others. They can be prone to depression. The melancholy usually detests group gatherings and doesn't seek to make new acquaintances. She or he
right,
has
a few.
No, it's never been me. Remember, Dad, you couldn't homeschool me because of that. Yeah, I know they tried. Good job, guys. The melancholy usually detests group gatherings. They don't seek to make new acquaintances. They have a few friends to whom they're extremely faithful. Self-sacrifice is great pleasure for the melancholy, and they feel things intensely, though you wouldn't always know it. They don't show it a lot. As a thinker and a philosopher, facts roll easily off the tongue of the studious melancholy. They would rather read or study than interact with others. Mm-hmm. And they liken the melancholy traits to those of a beaver. Perfectionist nature, their perfectionist nature makes them prone to procrastination and legalism, yet they are organized and self-disciplined. And again, here from Florence, our author from Personality Tree, and also a book called Silver Boxes, which you get into right after this.
Right.
I think we got time. The melancholy is a perfectionist who must have their life in order, and hopefully everyone else's as well. They would rather talk quietly with one person in depth than banter with a group. The melancholy is very sensitive, easily hurt, and they tend to take what others say in humor personal and hurt. Now, I will tell you, as I've gotten older, I visit melancholy quite a bit. Somebody could say something to me as a joke, but the way that they say it, I interpret it almost as if I'm expecting somebody to insult me. Because I've dealt with relationships that were not always very healthy. And so I always had to be very defensive. And I had to, you know, I had to play defense instead of offense, because I knew something was going to come from them. And so I was trying to prepare myself. And that's what the melancholy does.
Yeah.
They try to. So our oils that go with it,
lavender, magnolia, serenity. Mm-hmm. I love serenity. I take serenity at night to help sleep. Adaptive. I will tell you that for myself personally, the serenity has me dream more than my
own. Yeah, vivid.
And then, of course, the wild orange, which we love, and then the rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And the issues that melancholies have is procrastination, anxiety, and insomnia.
Yeah, definitely. Because they're trying to organize things. At least I am, clinically approved insomniac, which I don't know if that's a badge of honor or not. But I do spend a lot of time organizing what I've done in the day, how I could have done it better. And most of the time I focus on the people that I've let down, the way it didn't work out right. And now I'm going to have to maybe see them tomorrow or see them in a week. And then I look at them and I think, I know I've offended this person. How do I fix it? You know, I'm going to see them soon. How am I going to fix it? And then I obsess about that, because the relationships that I have, I want to keep them. So that's what I do. That's what my brain does. And I'll take an hour or two of sleep, and then I'm ready to go again. And I thought it's because this old noggin just keeps on going. Tell us a little bit about the silver boxes,
well,
though, will you?
My experience with this.
Well, yeah, how about you tell us about silver boxes? It's by the same author, Florence Littauer. It's LITTAUER. I'll put it up.
Yeah. And, well, what happened was I was introduced to this book called Silver Boxes. And it's all about encouragement. It really is touching on how to encourage and bring out the gift of encouragement. And one of the exercises that I did in there from the book is that I went and bought silver paper, and I would take those little cassette tapes and I put them in like little gifts.
Man, I was excited. I thought there were little gifts around the house.
So I just put them like around the house in the kitchen, in the living room, in the bedroom, and stuff. And Leah was like, "Mom, what is this?" I said, it's a symbol for me to see that I'm to give you guys silver boxes of encouragement, to encourage you, to help you be encouraged.
Why did you tell me that? I ran with that one.
Because whenever we got into a situation, and she would just tell me, what's that silver box for, Mom? Isn't that for like encouragement? And so she would be the one to bring me to the reason why that those boxes were around the house. And you know, she talks about that's what she did to just remind her that, you know, your home is to be a place of encouragement. And if you do have issues that you need to confront someone that you love, first, go to the Word of God, be in prayer, write down what you may have to want to express to that loved one, and make sure that there is no anger and there's no,
come to terms with your anger before you.
Right, before you present it, you know, because it's like when I would go to spank you and you would say, Mom, the Bible says you don't spank me in anger, because you knew I was. And I would say, okay, I was that child. Let me go. I'll be back in an hour. And I would follow through with what I needed to, you know. But I did it in a mindset that was, you know, glorifying God and not having to go. I don't think I ever spanked you in just a thank you.
No. No, just a no. And I'm, from people on the radio, I'm saying no. I shook my head yes. No, I don't believe so. Not that I could ever remember. But all kidding aside, you know, things like having silver boxes around your house, reading books to help you to remind yourself, you know, the world is out there. You know, Dad used to tell me all the time growing up, the world is going to kick you in the butt over and over again. You have to find people and places where that's not going to happen to you, and you can feel encouraged. And when it's time for you to walk across the stage for whatever it is that you've done for your achievement, enjoy those achievements, because they're few and far between in your life if you really look at them. And when you're there, folks, and you're up on the stage and you're walking across to do things or to be acknowledged, look out at the audience and see who is applauding for you. Those are your people. Those are the people you want to be with. The ones that ain't got no time for you, when it's time to acknowledge something good that you've done, but yet they're there for what they need, but they're not your people. You need to reevaluate yourself.
And you know, with that said, for those of us that, again, you know, are believers in Christ, you know, the Word says that He's the one. You know, I always say this, and I have, and I will continue till I take my last breath. I live for an audience of one, and His name is Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, am I required to live the gospel for Him? Yes, because He died for that, so that we may live.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say that I live for an audience of one, it's to please the one that has given me life and eternal life. You know, I'm developing this new saying, because as you become mature in the Lord and the days are shorter as you get, you realize that you're running your race and you don't know when you're going to be called, that your room is ready and you're set to go. So every day counts, you know, and tomorrow does lead to eternity, you know. And so I just wanted to say that, because when you live for an audience of one, people, oh yeah, that's Jesus. It's a big responsibility, because you have to love. And you've got to serve like Jesus served. You know, the scripture says that we are to decrease, and He is to increase. So every day when you, but the beauty in it, Leah, is that He has given you the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit within you that causes those good works to come, that He already prepared for you before you were even inside your mother's womb to do. So when you look at the magnitude of that, that audience of one is a big responsibility, not for your salvation, because He paid that, but for you to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know?
Yeah.
That to me, that's the goal, guys. That's the goal for me. Every day that I live, every day that I wake up in the morning, I'm grateful. You know, when you live a life of gratefulness, you really have wellness. The body loves it when you have grace. When you look around and you're grateful for the people that God...
Your body feeds off of positive affirmations, positive environment. Your body does really well with that.
You know, on Sunday, I'm just gonna, this is a side note. Jack read, and he read from Deuteronomy, where it was Moses' death, you know? Mm-hmm. And what I'm listening to it, and I go, whoa, Moses was 120 when he died, and his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. So that just ministered to me, because it said Moses didn't die because he was sick.
No.
Moses died because it was
old
age.
He died
of old age. It was time to go. And I said, that's the goal of the believer. Take care of your body. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's what God has given you to do the good work that He's already prepared for you to do. So Leah, go with your, what you have.
Speaking of which, we're going to go into the friend factor. This is a small book. It's 112 pages. My mentor, Joni, recommended that I read it. Actually, she texted me one day. She told me I was a friend. I was like, no, my name's Leah. She said, you're a friend. Read it. Read about it. So she didn't tell me what a friend was. She intrigued me to the point that I went and got the book. Now, Fred is I'm going to just summarize it very, not a whole in-depth, because I want you to go get the book.
And we don't get any money for it.
No, I mean, it's just a good book. And I can't remember when it was written. It doesn't even say it here. I'll have to look for it. But Fred was a postal worker. Okay. And the author, Mark Sanborn, he had just moved in to his house. And the postal worker introduced himself. Now, he was just a plain old dude, just regular kind of guy, but he had passion for what he did. He had intent with what he did. He paid attention to things like people's personalities, and he really strived for things like excellence in his performance. He had a delightful attitude. He under-promised and he over-delivered.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, that's a really
that's
good thing.
Yeah.
Just don't tell me I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And I think you'll hear that too. I think we all have.
Yeah.
Well, we really have the best intention.
Yeah.
And we promise, but we can't get it all done. So it's better to under-promise and over-deliver. A role model who wants to make a difference. A friend is gives consistent and remarkable service over time. So after I read this, I really felt like, what a nice compliment my mentor had just given me. You know, that she thought so highly of me that
you're afraid.
I'm afraid. So all I could think of though is grandma saying, Freddy.
Yeah,
really,
I'm not
the grandpa.
Yeah, we call
it. Yeah. So this is really a business book, okay? But it's also a life book. Okay, so it talks a lot about how making your business as well as your life, anything that you choose it to be, and that's what the author called the Fred Factor. By incorporating this type of excellence in your performance, you could apply it to anything in your life, and it would be an instant success. They talk about the different types of Fred, a funny Fred, an accountable Fred, a generous Fred, a famous Fred. Now, Joni just told me I was Fred, so I assume I'm all of these. Yeah. So that's just an idea for you, that even within this idea of Fred, which is why I thought it would go good with what we were talking. Mm-hmm. You still have the personality type right there.
Yeah.
And so it goes, they fit hand in hand. So you can go over what we're talking about with personalities, pick up this book and read it, and there'd be an instant connection with what you just heard from one thing to what you're reading now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important. These are the four Fred principles. And again, I'm not getting into the whole story, so read it. Number one, everyone makes a difference. Nobody can prevent you from choosing to be exceptional. That's a powerful statement. Because I see people that they believe that the people around them are some kind of invisible force holding them back from being exceptional. But, you know, just to read this gives you some power, gives you some authority in your own life to know nobody can prevent you from choosing to be exceptional, choosing being the key word. It's an act.
Right.
You know, just like when you love somebody, it's not a feeling, it's an action.
Right.
Love is an action verb. It's a verb, it's action. Number two, success is built on relationships. Indifferent people, indifferent, not different, but indifferent people deliver impersonal service. Fred got to know the author. He understood the author's needs and what his preferences were. And he was the postman, guys. He's not your doctor, it was postman. The quality of the relationship determines the quality of the product of service. So if you really value this person, what you bring them is always going to be the best for them. So, number three, you must continually create value for others, and it doesn't have to cost a penny. That's what we're talking about here.
Right.
Knowing the personalities of the people around you, trying to. Sometimes it's hard, but trying to. And it creates value. It creates a relationship of reciprocal value back and forth. Fred's imagination enabled him to create value for his customers. He uses the way he thought about people, you know, to create some value. The challenge is to outthink your competition versus outbending them. And your competition could be, like we said the other day, Sister Smell Fungus, that everybody loves. And you really want that love and attention, right? How do you do that? Outthink it. Outthink the person. You know, under-promise and over-deliver. Number four, you can reinvent yourself regularly. What? Like, that's a big deal. A lot of people think, well, I've always been this, and this is how I'm going to be to the day that I die. And even when we talked about personality, we talked about how you can visit. Like, every 6 months, you should take a test. Because depending on the situations in your life, you'll visit one side more than you'll visit the other. It's always changing.
Oils do help.
Yes, they do. They do help to kind of to align your personality, to align what's going on in your life with how you feel inside. Nobody can prevent you from choosing to be exceptional. There are no unimportant jobs, just people who feel unimportant doing their job. So this is where you get the idea that the trash collector is just as important as a CEO, you know, so that's her. I think I double clicked myself there on the double. I did it twice. There we go. It'll come up in a second. But that's why I thought this book would go so well with the other books, because it speaks about it in different ways. Three different making strategies. Identify when you will make a difference. You know, a lot of people, they just go around like we were talking about, I think it's the phlegmatics, that they blend in. They want to be a part of everything, of everyone. They really want to help, but they really need to identify when they're going to make a difference and put their efforts towards that instead, not so much on everything, because they're going to get drained, you know. You want to look at the people with whom you'll make the most difference. So not only are you going to identify the people you make a difference with, but also the ones you leave the lasting impression with. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your teammates. And make sure to be the difference that they have in their life. Show them something different, you know. There's a whole lot of information in here. So I'm not going to go through all of it. There's like 20 different slides that I got.
Oh, wow.
And, you know.
Yeah.
We got like 10 minutes, so that's not going to happen right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is kind of a teaser. Who do we remember the most? I'll start. I'll end with the first factor with that. Who do we remember the most? We remember those who live to serve others. We're most impressed and affected not by what people gain, but by what they give. Not by what they conquer, but by what they contribute. And that's really what this book is about, is helping you decipher and decide, do you want to be that person that people remember? A lot of us do. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard a lot of my friends say, or a good amount of my friends say, well, when they bury me, I hope they're full. When they have a service, I hope they're full. That's full. And, you know, lots of people. And I go, well, if that really is your goal, what have you done that would encourage that type of attendance?
And, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about. You know, the Word of God says we're all in a race.
Yeah.
We're all in a race, and no one's going to get, you know, it's amazing to me because He's already prepared the good works for you to do. He's equipped you with the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you. He's given you His 66 love letters that you can apply to
the Bible.
The Bible. And so why not be what Fred, you know, why not be what Fred?
Yeah.
Because we're all created to do all these good works.
Mm-hmm.
Already prepared them for you.
There, that's right.
You know, why waste your time with things like being angry and getting even? And that doesn't
yeah.
help you finish your race.
Mm-hmm.
It you know, and so to me, it's all being mindful of what God says and who you are. You know, I watched that movie with Priscilla Schreiber with Anna, the Overcomer.
Oh,
and
okay,
it was
yeah.
so amazing because she led the little girl to Jesus. And then she said to her, now go read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Have you ever read Ephesians chapter 1? I mean, it tells you everything, who you are. I mean, it's just so
yeah,
amazing.
All right there.
Your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2.
Seriously, if you have any question about things in life, the Bible will be there.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially if...
And application.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right there for you, especially if you take the time to read it and not just glance over.
Meditate.
This is not going to be a thing where you open the book and you point your finger down at something. Oh, there's my answer.
And you know...
It doesn't work that way.
Like, we're giving you these books and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great. We're not... They're great. However, the Word of God is alive. It doesn't return void. So the more you meditate on it, the more you bring it to remembrance, it will do what it says. It will transform your life. I know for myself, I'm not the same woman I was 30 years ago. I think I'm not the same woman I was 2 days ago. Because the Word of God is alive and it begins to tell you, no. Like what we got on Tuesday with the tongue. Man,
oh,
I've got a whole new concept. I'm like,
guys, I've tried to get him to, can we Facebook Live you? Can we do that? And he said, no.
That's
you want to come to the Bible study, you got to come. You got to be
right.
here.
But just,
but it is good stuff.
It's mind-boggling that God gave you this thing that is meant for you to edify, uplift, and do all these things. But what we do? Tear it out.
It's easier to do, especially if you're just looking into yourself and not paying attention to those around you, not having a servant's heart. Those things will make life easier
yeah.
for you.
You know, one of the scriptures, I don't, you know, it's in my house, but it meant so much to me. You don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. And you know, that good... It's finding out what the Word of God says and then doing what it says. Application. That is living the gospel. That is living the gospel. Applying what the Spirit of God shows you and then doing it. Yeah, just doing it.
It's funny, Dad made a comment in here that I would say afterwards that it didn't hurt. And he would tell me that it didn't hurt afterwards.
That's funny. Yes, you did.
And you know, I didn't know if that was her being defiant or what, but it was
a bit of my personality. But you know, when she would say things like, "Well, you can't overcome evil with evil," and so I would go, "Really? Really? So I can't just go do back to well, that takes all the fun out of me."
Well,
that
would
go
away. Yeah, it's like you have, you know, and we've always said this: you have a choice. You can, you know, that's the beauty of being. Before you were in, before you were in the world, you didn't have a choice.
You know, birth to 4 years old.
But once you get born from above, now you have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have a choice, you have a responsibility.
No, seriously, with all this stuff though that we present to you guys, we're giving you choices. We're broadening your horizons, opening up your systematically opening up your mind. This is what the hope is. So that you are, if you somebody who's not a reader, you're encouraged to read or audiobook it. I don't care. And if somebody who doesn't use oil, who maybe uses pharmaceuticals more than they should, you encourage to use something more natural. Somebody who doesn't realize that the Bible is still alive and applicable today, just as it was 3,000 years ago, we may encourage you to open up your Bible. So that's really what all this is about. We can bring the information to you, but you got to pick it up.
And
you know,
it's part of being well. We live in a society that so many people are ill. And some of this, just applying the word to your life.
Every 22 minutes. You gotta
that to me, that's so sad. That's so sad.
And I don't think that it's for their lack of trying to live this life. What it could be is that they really need people around them that understand about personalities, that want to serve, that reach out to them, and let them understand that they're not by themselves.
Right.
And this remind them that they have a place in this world, and remind them they have a place in God's heart, in the palm of His hand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our hope.
Living the Word of God, just being a light, like the Word of God says. That's what we're supposed to be.
We got 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Okay.
So it's almost time to pray us out.
Okay.
I know, but I have to let her know ahead of time, guys. Because if I don't, she'll just keep going. And then before I know it, I got a negative mark on the on-air. That's not good. So, you know you do it.
Yeah.
Never know.
But, you know, again, I just want to, you know, we're all looking to please people. But
that's
the thing
that
I try to is live to please God. You get everything when you live to please God. Everything, you know. And you get joy. You get so many amazing things when you live to please the one that, I mean, my goodness, He holds your very next breath.
Well, you know,
I mean, I just think it's so awesome.
When you live to please God, you know, and you'll read the Bible, you see there, everything is there for you. You know, God says, study to show thyself approved. Study the Bible, study these other books. They're supplementary. They're not the Bible, but they're things that can help you as well. And read up on your knowledge of your oil. Listen to shows like this. Send us questions. That's all a part of living a Christian life, I think, is reading and questioning.
Yeah.
Questioning is good for
iron sharpens iron.
Very
So with that said, I just want to end with Psalms 27:1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" See, He's everything. Without Him, John 15:5 can do nothing. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before You in a posture of humility and love and thankfulness, knowing, Father, that You have predestined for us to be here today. Thank You for waking us up this morning, those that have listened and those that will listen. Lord, I pray for a special blessing that they would ask You to come into their lives and be renewed and born from above, Father God. I thank You, Father, that Your word says that this is the day the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So until next week, all the glory, the praise, and the honor. May the Lord say the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bye-bye. Love you, Blondie. Hope to see you next week.
Hey, you want to hit the button?
All right, guys. Well, we're happy to have you here, and we'll see you next week. I'm going to go ahead.